recording. Dave, thank you for sharing your life with us in that way, that little paragraph in your life anyway, with this
death of this 19-year-old, born just months before my son Judah. Yeah. And how she, in fact, touched many people for Jesus. Last week, we started into the book of Revelation. And there was probably three people that talked with me in the last 3 months or so asking if I would go there, if we could teach this. And I've had hesitations for as long as I have been a teacher and preacher to go through the book like this. But we're doing it. And the deeper I go into it, the more excited I'm getting about it. So I'm looking forward to it, truly with you. Last week I gave a few disclaimers as to why I hadn't ever wanted to teach through the book. And I'll throw some more at your way here and there, I am certain. I don't want to get bogged down in it. But this morning we're only looking at one verse. But within that one verse, we're going to spread out. We're going to span out for sure. The introduction, just very briefly, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to give or show to his bondservants, the things which must shortly take place. Armin pointed out last week that Greek word takus that we get our word tachometer from, that it's going to start out slow, but when it gets going, it's going to ramp up. Must shortly take place. And he sent the commandment by his angel to his bondservant John. So we have God gave to Jesus, that gave to his angel, that gave to John to give to us. He bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. I've got to add John's disclaimer, which he doesn't pin, but he saw things he had never, ever seen before and described them the best he could. Just like Ezekiel, probably like Daniel. I'm just writing it down here. This is what I saw for real. Some of it is meaningful to us because he defines it, shows us where it fits in, and some of it we're going to have to say, well, I don't know what it is, but I believe God, and we'll leave it at that. Verse 3 is where I want to spend more time today. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. As I shared with you last week, I have heard the extreme of a teaching that from this verse, I'm taught that if I just simply read this, my life is going to get better. That which is disjointed and out of order is going to come into order. And I'm thinking that's not what John is saying. Shared that last week. It's just re-upping it. But what does he mean by it? Many years ago, our men's Bible study was meeting in Armin's home, and he taught through the first three chapters of this book. And it was a good time. I'm going to give to you one of those things he pointed out to us. Blessed is he who reads, those who hear prophecy. He pointed out that there are seven distinct blessings mentioned in the book of Revelation. Let's quickly walk through those. Chapter 14. Please turn there, verse 13. Beginning at verse 8, actually. Revelation 14:8, and another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." That's repeated again, I think it's chapter 17. "She who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." And another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives the mark on his forehead or upon his hand," that's described in chapter 13 at the end, the 666, "he will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they will have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image, and who receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints. Let's pause for just a moment and say this is given, and now it's like there's a turn. Looking ahead, here comes. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and hear and have, and their faith is in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Blessed are the dead. Huh, the first of the seven. But the dead who die in the Lord, and from a specific time on. Turn to chapter 16. Chapter 16. Verse 15. "Behold, I am coming like a thief." Where was that first read in this book? To the letter to the church. I think it Sardis, maybe? "I come like a thief." Sardis. Look in chapter 3, verse 3. "Remember therefore what you have received and heard, keep it and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." Okay, back to chapter 16. "Behold, I am coming like a thief." So who's speaking? Well, to me, obviously, the Lord Jesus. "Blessed is the one," here is the second one, "blessed is the one who stays awake." Go back to chapter 3, verse 2. "Wake up, church at Sardis. Strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die." So back to chapter 16. "Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments." Huh. Church at Sardis, verses 4 and 5, chapter 3. "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments." Wow. It seems like there's this relationship going back and forth. So I'm in chapter 16, verse 15, if you're trying to keep up. "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame." That is written to the church at Laodicea. Anyway, let's go to the next one. Chapter 19. The other seven blessings. Chapter 19, verse 5. "And a voice came from the throne saying, 'Give praise to our God, all you, his bondservants, you who fear him, the great," or the small and the great. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.' And he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" What a blessing. "And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" Chapter 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus." Remember, blessed are the dead who die in Jesus from now on. "I saw those. because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. Those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, had not received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Came to life. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This was the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. Chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 7. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Huh, does that sound kind of like chapter 1, verse 3? Blessed is he who reads and hears and heeds the prophecies of this book. Now at the end, behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who pays attention, who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city, and then outside, and so forth. Let's go back to chapter 1. Tremendous blessings mentioned in those seven sightings in Revelation. No question about it. But is that all that verse 3 is talking about? I'm suggesting it is not. And I'm suggesting in the next two chapters, there's at least 11 blessings given to the seven churches. Seven blessings to the seven churches. Blessed is the one that hears, that reads, that hears and heeds what is written here. Look in chapter 2 with me.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 2. The letters to the seven churches, verses two, chapter 2 and 3. In chapter 2, the first church, the church at Ephesus. Look at verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. There's a blessing without using the word blessing. Verse 11, to the church at Smyrna. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Oh, that's kind of related to the blessing we read in chapter 22. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. Have you considered that maybe there's still some of that stuff left? We've always wondered, what's it like? There's a little description in the Old Testament, but to him who overcomes, I will do what? Give him some of the hidden manna. That sounds fun. And I will give him a white stone. We'll talk about that when we get here. And a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Some unique, special blessing from God, individual to the one that overcomes and follows after him. Chapter 2, also one more. 26. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This is Jesus. But we're ruling with him. As the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. And I will give the one who overcomes the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, hallelujah, and I will confess his name before my Father. Jesus the advocate and also Jesus the Lord standing before the Father in our stead, representing us there, presenting our name to him. What a picture that is. before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The next one in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Talked about later on in Revelation. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I mean, what amazing blessings. There's reason to pay attention here, but there's one more. Chapter 3, verse 21. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. Throne is singular. Not a throne drawn up next to me. Sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Throne is singular. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Everybody in this room has ears on both sides of their head, I can tell. God gave them to us for a reason. God gave them to us. It's not electrical bill problem. Somebody lean on that switch. He gave them to us to process information that comes audibly. Hallelujah for what Dave described that this deaf girl could hear because of this apparatus that was put against her skull. But that's not what's being talked about here, and you know this. Let him who has ear process that in your very soul. Think about this. Now, I take all of this and I go back to chapter 1, verse 3, and say, blessed is the one that reads and hears and heeds what is written here. To me, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Does that make sense? As we read through this, certainly there's going to be stuff we don't understand. Hallelujah, God didn't say, you have to hear it, read it, and understand it. And if you miss a point, oops, too bad. I feel sorry for you. The stuff we don't understand, the stuff that is a mystery still, it's okay. God's got it handled. Perfectly fine. The stuff that we do understand, that's where the attention should be given. Main point, the book of Revelation. If all else is foggy to us, it's about the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And that all creation will worship him. The one who is the Alpha and the Omega. The one who is the first and the last. The one who is the beginning and the end. The one who is, who was, and who is to come. Let me put some thoughts down to that statement that's here in the book of Revelation. He was in the beginning with God. John 1, verses 1 to 3 says, in the beginning, help me out. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things have been created by Him, and aside from Him, nothing has been created that has come into being. The one who is, who was, and who is to come. He was in the beginning with God, even as Creator. Then he came to his own as a man, as one of us, but also as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed in payment for our sin. He came to redeem all who believe in him, and this work is still going on. The one who is, the one who was, the one who will come again. Behold, I am coming quickly. Behold, I am coming as a thief. And so the end of Revelation says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. If other things are foggy in the book, no, it's about the testimony of Jesus, the one who is, the one that was, the one that is to come. He's coming again in the end. He will render final judgment in this book against all sin and to receive all believers that are now his children. Also called his beloved and his bride in this book and his saints to be with him and his Father. He's bringing us with him. You can see that in chapter 19. He will set up his eternal kingdom where there is no more sin, no more death, no more tears. Look at chapter 22. Chapter 22, 3, 4, and 5. And there shall be, or there shall no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb, throne is singular, shall be in it. And his bondservants shall serve him. By the way, this is one of the places that the Watchtower Society did not change about the deity of Jesus in their Bible. The throne of God and the throne of the Lamb, same throne. Interesting. They shall see his face. You know, one of the first things that John wrote, Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. And now one of the last things he writes, we will see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads. Sounds like the other alternative is to have something else stamped on the forehead and on the hand or wrist. But he has his stamp on us, his very image. And there shall no longer be any night. And they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them. And they shall reign forever and ever. Chapter 22 also. No, excuse me. Chapter 7. Go back to 16 and 17. Chapter 7. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd. He shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. The one who is, who was, and who is to come. That's what this book is about. Now, just for a little fun exercise, let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 25. The book of Revelation gives us a few exercises in new things, but some of them have been around for a long time, and other prophets, they had spoke of these things. Chapter 25 of Isaiah. Chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces. He will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 51. Verse 11. So the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 15 and following. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, talking about Israel, with no one passing through. I will make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generation. You will also suck the milk of nations, will suck the breast of kings. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. Of course, Paul picked that up in Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and following. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make peace your administrators, and righteousness your overseers. Violence will not be heard again in your land. That hasn't been fulfilled. Nor devastation and destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation, and your gates praise. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor the brightness for brightness will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will set no more, neither will your moon wane. For you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be finished. This is repeated in the book of Revelation. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, the least one, a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. I wonder if the Greek word would describe that, like a tachometer, picking up the pace when it starts. I absolutely relate the two. One more, chapter 65, please. Chapter 65:17, the Lord says, Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, her people for gladness. That hasn't been fulfilled yet. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping, the sound of crying, nor no longer will there be in it an infant who lives out but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at age of 100. The one who does not reach the age of 100 shall be thought accursed, and they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall build and not another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, so shall be the life or days of my people. My chosen ones shall wear out the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain nor bear children for calamity. For they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Now, I got to tell you, there are some things right here in Isaiah 65 that I say, can I ask a question? The youth dying young, an old man living out his years, and so forth. Seems to be a millennial discussion, which Revelation talks about. Yet at the same time, it's a new heaven and a new earth described. I don't understand. That's mysterious to me. And I have not settled on placing each one of these items. But there is something I'm settled on. It can be summed up in a story I've told here before, but it's been a long time. Fun little story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it could have been. And the story is of an older gentleman. I used to tell this as a young man. Now I'm called an old man. That's weird, huh, Dave? And Dave. And Dave. And But there was an older man, poised on a park bench, according to the story, reading his Bible. Along walks a seminary student. Young, and as seminary students and Bible school students can be, young and just a bit cocky, little zealous about what they know and what they're learning and going to set the world straight. And the young seminary student walked up to the old man sitting there reading his Bible and said, "Oh, I see you're reading the Bible. What are you reading?" Book of Revelation. Went on with his reading. With a little bit of a smirk, the young guy said, "Oh, so you're reading the book of Revelation. Do you understand it?" There's a whole classroom discussion behind that question. He looked up and he said, "Yep." Went on reading. In a little bit of a shock, the seminary student, we'll give him a little benefit of the doubt, said, "So you're reading Revelation and you understand it, huh? Tell me about it." The old man looked up and closed the book and he said, "Jesus is going to win." That's enough. I like that. Now there's plenty to look into because God gave it to us to look at. Ultimate picture, God is God. And the Lord Jesus is God. And all creation will worship Him as God. And the way the book is set up from the very beginning, chapter 1, verse 3, you'd be well off to read it, to hear it, and to heed. Pay attention. There's blessings in what God has presented, truth about Himself. I have one more turn in the book of Revelation to talk about chapter 1, verse 3. Would you please go to chapter 22 of Revelation? I will bare my heart before you, and I hope you will take me seriously. I have a significant concern in my heart about teaching the book of Revelation. Verse 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Our discussion this morning. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. That's part of the take heed. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. I'm a little nervous about teaching this book. I have a desire to stay as true to the book as possible, not adding to it, which can come in the form of presenting a meaning that is not intended here, nor take away from it, take away because of my comfort zone or my theological satisfaction. Is that adding to it and is that taking away from it? It very well probably includes those things. Staying true to what it says. And so I will tell you, I'm going to endeavor to stick to what it says as I observe it and try not to distort it. Now, that's going to mean, like I shared last week, that you and me may have to test our preconceptions. Stick it on the shelf. It's worth it. Test it out by not only the book of Revelation, but how does it fit within the whole Word of God? God does not distort things when He gave us this book. I believe He clearly gave us exactly what we needed to have. The mystery part, it's okay, let it go. There's plenty that's clear. Heed what's written in it. He is holy. And he's not going to allow us to be messing with that holiness. I'll pause, open it up to you. Interaction. Comments or questions? Yes, ma'am?
Well, also the very last verse does say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with
you. Amen.
Amen. So I think if you make some sort of a mistake, completely accidentally, you're not just trying to change the whole
thing. I can stop sweating.
We could all make a mistake.
I know that to be true. Thank you very much. Perfect. From the mouth of a Bible teacher right there. Fred.
Nevertheless, I think your caution is valuable. Because in my view, this is the book of the Bible that has been most misinterpreted and misused by a variety of people and confessions. That's the way I perceive it.
Yeah, and sometimes that change could be encapsulated in this thought. God didn't mean that literally. What he really meant was this. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Anybody else? My plan, my intention is to begin at verse 4 next week. And that'll take us beyond verse 4 as well, if that's what God wants. But I do want to walk through the book. I know, because I've made this mistake in the past, if we hunker down and just focus on little tiny tidbits at a time, though they may be very intellectually interesting, maybe even spiritually interesting, we can miss the big picture. And the big picture is important. I'm going to ask you, challenge you to maybe read the book of Revelation in a sitting, or two or three. Freshen yourself up in it. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for us together. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to do this. And I do look forward to it, look to it with positive anticipation. Would you meet us here? Give us what we need. God, help us to be sensitive to the Spirit as you give us, we pray, interpretation and application of this book of Revelation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.